Hey everybody, welcome back to another Bible study. In the last Bible study, I started off talking about guilt, shame, and conviction. So this is going to be the part two of it. I didn't get finished with it last time, so this is just going to be the runoff to it. So as I do in every single Bible study, I'm going to start off with prayer, and then we'll begin. So, dear Lord, I just come to you today. I just say thank you so much, so much for this great opportunity just to speak, just spread your word. Just to show what it is that your love, your kindness, your joy, your peace brings to these people, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you will begin to open our eyes, open our ears, soften our hearts, change us, change our path, God. Guide our steps to you, Lord Jesus. You are an amazing God. You're the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God. And show us exactly what that is. I pray through this Bible study, Lord, that you just speak through me. You say exactly what it is you're wanting me to say, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, part two to guilt, shame, and conviction. So in the last Bible study, I said guilt and shame and conviction are completely different, but guilt and conviction are the same way in a worldly look, but shame is completely different than both of the two. And in your walk with Christ, conviction is different than guilt and shame. Okay, so we're going to start off like this. Stop allowing your sins to weigh you down to the point to where you're going to run away from Christ because you feel like you're not good enough. You are good enough. But the funny thing is, you're also not good enough. God created you, so he knew you. He created you for something where he would have never created you at all. But at the same time, you're always going to get it wrong. At the end of the day, you're still going to sin. You're still going to fall short of the glory of God. The word says that. You're still going to fall short. So like I said in the last Bible study, you should be convicted when you do something, but the guilt and shame that conviction might bring is going to weigh you down. You have to give it to Christ. And I know that's easier said than done, but you have to give it to Christ. You have to. You cannot become the person that God is calling you to be if all you're doing is being weighed down. It's like you're on the floor and you've got chains wrapped around you and weights upon weights. Like you go to the gym and you have those 45-pound weights. You have those on top of you, one after the other and after the other, and to the point you won't be able to move. It's like when you're handcuffed. You can't use your arms. And every limb belongs to God. Every single limb that you have belongs to Christ Jesus. And so if you're weighed down and you're handcuffed, how is God going to use you? He can't. So you have to give it to God. He will show you his love, his joy, his kindness, his peace. He will show you that. You just have to accept the gift that he gave you, which is his death on the cross. You have to accept it. And that's the first step to becoming a Christian, is believing that God died on the cross and resurrected 3 days later for a sinner like you and me. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. Conviction allows you to understand that you just fell short. You didn't hit the mark like you were supposed to. And it understands that you need to run after a Savior to save you. You have to have a shepherd, and you have to be the sheep of Christ. And for you to become a shepherd of God and to guide other sheep, you first have to be led by a shepherd. And that is Jesus Christ. He has to lead you in a way, but the only way he can lead you is if you run towards him. He's right there. His arms are wide open. He will take that weight off one weight at a time, 15 weights at a time. He will unchain you. He breaks the chains. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. He understands you. He knows you. He knows your heart. And so the funny thing is, the enemy knows your name, yet calls you by your sin. And God knows your sin, yet calls you by your name. Who are you going to run to? Somebody who's just going to pull you down and put misery on your heart and continue to make you feel like you can't run to Christ? Or are you going to run to the creator of all things, to the one who actually created you for a reason? In the midst of your sin, he's outside of time, and he knew you were going to sin before he ever even created you. Before he laid the foundations of the earth, he knew you by name. He knew you were going to go against him, yet he created you anyway. And that's how loving of a God we have. It's amazing. So in 1 John 1:19, if we confess our sins, God forgives us and purifies us. And every single time we sin, we continue to run back to him. That is one weight off of our shoulders again and again and again. Human beings are limited. And so you can only hold so much weight at once. Some people are bodybuilders so they can hold more weight. But in a spiritual sense, you can't hold nothing. Only God can hold it. And like I said in the last Bible study, I want to be knowledgeable. I want to be wise. And so I pray for wisdom every single day. Because I want to make sure what I'm doing is in Christ's name and is exactly what He wants me to do, and I want to do it in my best of my abilities. But being that type of person puts guilt and shame and weight on myself. And like I said, we are so limited to the amount that we can do that we have to sometimes drop that weight. But people like me, for example, and I'm sure there's people out there like this, you don't want to ask for help. You say, you know, I got it myself. I don't need help. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to feel like you're more powerful than you are. He wants you to believe that you're smarter than you are. He wants you to believe that you don't need a God. Why do you think atheists are the way they are? They don't want to run to a God because it's going to make them feel convicted for what they believe in. More relativists, they don't want a God. They want to be able to go have sex with whoever they want. They want to go be able to have go party all the time and at parties where they're going to get drunk or get high, and they don't want to feel bad for it. A lot of times in this generation, especially like OnlyFans people, they sit there and they say, you know what, I'm going to get married after OnlyFans, or I'm going to get married after porn. Somebody will love me. No, God will love you now, and just change. Allow Him to change you. Stop feeling that guilt and shame as a Christian and people who don't believe in God. And if you're listening to this, stop allowing the enemy to win. Stop allowing your flesh to overwhelm you to the point to where you're so satisfied, but then it's going to become so numb. If you're seeking sex, one day your nerves are going to be shot to where sex is no more enjoyable. If you're going to be an athlete, one day you won't be able to be a football star anymore. You're going to have to retire, or an NBA star. You're going to have to retire, and then somebody else will be better than you. And all that work you just did was for what? For this limited amount of time? For satisfaction, for that money, for that popularity, for that fame. God wants you now, in the midst of your sin, and then He'll have you for all of eternity, to where there's no more sin. You'll be able to praise a God. Like, how amazing is that, to praise a God for all of eternity, who chose you above all, who died for your sins above all, who had every right to say, go on, destroy this world. Legions of angels in front of Him when He was on the cross, and yet He died for you anyway. And so why are you feeling this guilt and shame? Stop allowing it to weigh you down. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow leads to repentance and salvation, while worldly sorrow leads to death. The worldly sorrow that it's talking about is guilt and shame. And it's also seeking things to replace God. And so it leads to death. It leads to nothing good. At least to nothing. But yet God will lead you to repentance and salvation and eternity with Him for all time. How amazing is that? I don't know who's listening to this, who needed to hear this, but man, God, I pray that whoever this is for, and it's also for myself, because I feel this guilt and shame 24/7. As I said before, I'm my biggest hater, and I put so much guilt and shame on myself to the point to where I feel like I can't even move sometimes in any direction, let alone the right direction. I'm stuck. God, am I doing the right thing today? God, am I doing the right thing today? Over and over and over and over, to the point to where I don't even know what I'm doing, let alone if I'm doing the right thing. I said this verse earlier, Romans 3:23 through verses 24, all people have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but are justified freely through Christ. It's a gift. He freely gave you a gift. Him dying on the cross took that guilt and shame to where you can now become a new creation in Christ. You are no longer who that guilt and shame is telling you that you are. You are no longer the sin that the enemy is calling you out for. You are now who God created you to be. So live it out. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. That's not a bad thing. But stop living in the aftermath of it. Move on. Yes, you fell off. Hop back on and continue to strive through Christ. You're going to fall off again. Hop back on. This world and this time that you are given right now is limited. You only have so much time on this earth. So live it out for God. Become the person that God is wanting you to be. I personally cannot wait. I cannot wait. to see God, to see His face, to sing praises for all of eternity, to where I can finally, Paul says this beautifully, and I'm paraphrasing, but finally, this flesh, I can finally rip it off, and I'm done with it, to where now I can finally do the things I want to do, and I never have to do the things I don't want to do anymore in a sinful way. So that's all I have for this Bible study. I hope that whoever I spoke to, even myself, is listening. Is going to pick up the Word of God. Is going to study it and understand what it says to where they can become a new creation. To where finally they can rip off them weights. Rip off them chains. And reach out your hand and allow God to grab it and pull you up. It's like Peter when he went out on the water. The moment he started sinking, what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand immediately and pulled you up. Pulled him up. And that's exactly what He's going to do for you. The moment you sin and you relapse on that sin, pull you right back. He will leave the 99 for you. That's all I have for this Bible study. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I guess I will see you in the next one. Bye.